Hello and welcome to Off the Pipes, your RMU men's hockey podcast. Today is Thursday, February 27th, 2020. I'm John Hanna.
I'm Nathan Breisinger.
And we're playing some Red Hot Chili Peppers. Kind of ironic seeing how it's cold and chilly outside right now.
Had to warm up the mood a little bit.
Yes.
Get it going in the radio room right now.
And it seems like the Colonials have gotten it warmed up on the ice as well. They played well last week against Canisius, I'd say.
Grabbing, what, 5 total points out of the 6 possible. So that was nice for them to really boost their standings, help them out there in that department, especially getting a big shootout win on Friday on the road, which was nice.
Is that their first shootout win of the season, I believe? I think so. Let me check. They're 3-2 in the 3v3 slash shootout, but I know there's two of those. One is an OT win, the other's a shootout win. So I don't know if that other win is shootout or overtime.
Yeah,
off the top of my head.
Same with me. I'm not too sure. But it was nice. Aiden Beck scoring that shootout winner. Haven't heard a whole lot of him, but in the post-game recap on the RMU men's hockey website, Schooley said, in quote, "Aiden has won shootouts before and is the current champ from practice. So we used to just do a loser in the drill, but this year we decided to start doing a winner too, and he has won a few of them this year," end quote. So Schooley giving him some praise, noting how he has done well in practice. So I guess they gave him the nod in the shootout, and he went out and won it for them.
Yeah, good for that. I know, obviously, you always – it's a great way to end, like, the shootout, have a fun way. When I used to do track practices, we used to sometimes end, you know, with, like, a capture the flag game. So it's just one of those things to, if you go on a streak, let's say, going just, you know, letting the guys hang loose, have a little fun. And now it's actually helping them since they do have the shootouts in games.
Yeah, and as a defenseman, too, it's interesting to see that he's going out there and winning shootouts in practice and in a game. So it's nice in that aspect. Also, in regulation, you get a goal from Darcy Walsh, the freshman, his 3rd of the year, 5th point on the season. So it's nice also for him to get another goal on the season. Again, getting guys from, you know, different lines all up and down the lineup to help out and at least grab some points for them, edging out Canisius, getting 2 points instead of just 1 in this victory, or a tie in the standings. But
yeah, well,
technically a victory for them.
It didn't help them move up in the standings, but it distanced them a little bit more from Air Force. They're currently 5th, but we'll get onto that a bit later.
Staying on that game, though, Reed Cooper, 2nd consecutive start, 33 saves on 34 shots. So he gets another nod in net. You know, Schooley really looking at him compared to Lubesmeyer and Kapelmaster. And Cooper goes out there and allows for the Colonials to grab 2 points here in this game. And I think it's nice now that you can sort of rely on him or Kapelmaster, as that stretch of unthinkable games for Kapelmaster has continued, where he's struggled and sort of slipped from where he was in the beginning of the year, really being playing outstanding hockey in the net for the Colonials. So it's nice for Cooper to help the Colonials get a couple points. And
it's a bit odd because earlier in the year it seemed like it was really Lubesmeyer's backup job, because against teams like when they played AIC, when they played Sacred Heart, it was Lubesmeyer that came in.
That would get Kapelmaster. But I think Schooley wanted to see something new and wasn't like what he was seeing from who was getting the starts or who was playing, just in general from the team all up and down the roster, you know, shaking up the different lines. And so Cooper here again getting a 2nd consecutive start, and he helps them get into a shootout and helps, you know, keep it an even game for Aiden Beck to get that 2nd point for them.
Yeah, and I think that's just a great job by them. Obviously, Schooley saw something that didn't work, found the hot goalie, and is starting to put some momentum together for him.
And that game is just a great example of what Colonials hockey has been like, at least for the beginning part of the year. Low scoring, you know, forcing it into overtime, into a shootout, and getting a win seemed more of a defensive battle. And on the road, it's always tough to go out on the road and play, but they went out there, like I said, played a defensive battle and was able to get into that shootout and come back to Colonials Arena for that second game with an extra point.
Yeah, and it was senior night, obviously. Seven different seniors on this team. Sean Giles, Alex Robert, Daniel Mantenuto. You have Justin Kapelmaster, obviously. Mike Coyne playing against his hometown team, kind of. Jake Coleman, Luke Lynch.
Yeah, a couple local kids in Luke Lynch and Jake Coleman as well. Nice for them to get recognized on their senior day, and then they end up going out there and getting a regulation win, 4-3.
Yeah, that's a big one. It was tied, and Daniel Mantenuto scored late.
52, I think, was left on the clock.
Yeah, 52 left on the clock on the power play.
5-on-3 at man advantage, too. So they were able to score on the power play when need be, instead of where the power play has been rocky throughout the year. You know, we've mentioned as of late, you know, they put together a couple games where they had scored on the power play. Canisius also scored twice on the power play to get them back in the game. RMU went up 3-1 thanks to the goals from Roman Kramer, Michael Coyne, Luke Lynch. But Canisius battled back and forced, you know, that game to come down to the wire. But this time they ended it in regulation.
Yeah, one of those was on, I believe, a five-minute major by Mike Coyne. I know he scored, but it wasn't exactly the best weekend for him. He had the goal, but he also had a game misconduct for checking behind, and then in the first game he had two holding penalties. So not exactly the best game from him in a disciplinary way, but he was able to get on the score sheet, which I think is big for him.
Yeah, I think that sort of balances each other out. I mean, that goal helps them at least at the time get the lead, and then it helps them out in the long run where they won the game 4-3. But then, obviously, it's tough to go out there and take a five-minute major and most likely not be able to play at least one of these games versus Niagara coming up, most likely, as he probably will have to sit out. But it sort of balances it out, Coyne getting a goal along with other guys, though. So, just again, five total different guys scoring for the Colonials on the weekend, something we've noticed as of late where, you know, through that tough stretch, it was really just the same guys who were scoring. Prokusic was a guy that came up often. He still is, but now
it's more. You get guys like Roman Kramer, Michael Coyne. In the first game, Garrett Clegg had an assist. I believe that's his first collegiate point.
Yeah, so you're getting scoring from different guys, and again, as we head into the final weekend of the regular season, you know, get one more crack at it before you head into the postseason and get guys to start getting that monkey off their back as they head as they close out the season, preparing for the postseason. And it's going to be important to see who can step up in these next couple weeks heading into the playoff action, see who steps up, who can score for them, who can also get on the score sheet assist-wise, leading as playmakers, as example. It's going to be big to see different guys besides someone like Nick Prokusic or maybe someone like Jake Coleman, who we've seen a lot this year for the Colonials.
And that's sort of how it is in hockey. It's always the guy you don't expect to score.
Yeah, and it's exactly how it is. You know, hockey's so unscripted, and anything can happen. So you get different guys. It could be your fourth line can have an amazing game, or your first line can do what it's supposed to and put up big-time points. But in this game, Kapelmaster getting the nod, he made 30 saves in net for the Colonials. Much better bounce-back game compared to, you know, weeks past. For him, nice to get that win on senior day. I know he was excited leaving the game.
That first goal he let up was, I think his stick got stuck in the net. He went to go play the puck, and then it got stuck in the net, and it was just an easy wraparound there for I believe it was Kevin Ospeth that just had the easy wraparound around the net.
Yeah, and then you have two power play goals, which seems to be the norm this year so far, where Kapelmaster's hung out to dry on the penalty kill where he's getting picked apart because the Colonials can't stay out of the box, and then their penalty kill just hasn't been that great this year, letting other teams score, and it's been the downfall for Kapelmaster as he's played well throughout the year, but lately, he's struggled a bit, and that can be an attest to that with the penalty kill, how it's been struggling.
Yeah, but who was your player to watch, or player of the week? Who did you think played the best?
My player from the weekend, I'm going to go with a little bit of a standout player who played better than weeks past. I'm going to go with Roman Kramer, the freshman. He ended up having a goal, as we saw in the second game. He was plus one in the first game with two shots, plus one in the second game with two shots as well. So he made his presence felt out on the ice. Definitely adding that goal early on, tying the game, was big for the Colonials. Sort of help him out. Again, another player that gets on the score sheet, builds confidence as they headed down here. He's another guy that potentially they can lean on for goal scoring here against Niagara. And as they go into the playoffs, he was my guy from this weekend, my spotlight player. How about you?
Mine is the guy who actually didn't score a point, but he played a crucial role. He was even, I'm going Sean Giles.
Okay.
He had 8 blocked shots over the weekend, and you never know with how hockey works. Any one of those 8 shots could have been deflected, could have taken a weird bounce. So the fact that, obviously, senior night, he wants to put on a good showing in front of his family, but he was my player because just 8 blocked shots over 2 nights, sacrificing the body for the team.
Exactly. And it was sort of more, I feel like it was more of a senior weekend because you get those 5 critical points, where this weekend's a big one for the season, and you come back home and it's senior night. And yeah, Giles definitely playing for his parents and a great crowd that was on hand for that game at Colonials Arena on Saturday. Yeah, he definitely was out there laying the body on the line, helping out his team get another win.
Yeah, and then looking forward to this weekend against Niagara, they're coming off a weekend in which they split with RIT, maybe a bit surprising for some.
And Niagara just a few weeks ago was, what, second or third from the bottom in Atlantic Hockey play. So they've sort of ramped things up 4-1-1 in their past 6 games.
That's a good stretch there. I'm looking at their schedule. I didn't realize Sacred Heart was up to number 20 in the NCAA.
Yeah, some teams getting recognized from Atlantic Hockey, Sacred Heart. I believe AIC is up there as well, of course, with them leading the conference overall 20-12-1. But Niagara's sort of making their presence felt, climbing the standings as of late, 36 points, 10-12-4 in the conference. And it'll be another tough test. It's just been week after week after week where RMU is just playing some tough hockey, and they took care of Canisius throughout the year, going 3-0-1, getting 10 total points out of 10 points out of potential 12, yes. I believe. And you know, they took care of that aspect, that series, season series. But here, Niagara going to be a little bit different. We see, before the podcast, we were talking about goaltender, freshman, it depends. They have a couple goaltenders that could step in. But freshman goalie Chad Veltri, freshman, he's local from Pittsburgh, played for Youngstown Phantoms. He has played pretty well, 6-9-2. The record doesn't indicate how well he's actually done. In Atlantic Hockey, has a .92 save percentage, the best in the conference. Goals against average puts him at a little bit lower at 8th with 2.24 goals against average. So he's had his fair share of good moments, but also has struggled at times.
I mean, it seems like that's the way for every team. Every team seems to have a goalie with a great save percentage but a poor record.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but that just seems to be the way it is in the Atlantic
just,
Hockey.
Just facing a lot of shots, I think, is the factor here. And going, just saying that about goaltenders in general in the conference of Atlantic Hockey, besides maybe AIC, everyone's real AIC or Sacred Heart, everyone's real relatively close there in the standings. RIT is a little bit up there, but between the 5th and like 10th slot, everyone's real close right there with all around the area of 30 plus points. So it can fluctuate here in the last weekend of the year. Things can move around, and this is a series that's going to be real crucial here if RMU wants to get a first a bye from the first weekend and play in that second weekend against RIT. RMU will not get home ice then. They won't get home ice at all in the postseason if now since RIT has basically captured that fourth spot, because things can still fluctuate between RIT and Army as well. So
yeah, they're close. I think the Clones would rather go to Army, because just RIT, as we've mentioned before, is such a hostile atmosphere.
I think
Army is the way to go if you really don't want that away.
I know Army though can put together some good crowds as well at their home rink, but I feel like RMU would compete a little bit better maybe against Army. I think RIT with how they play, and then just like you said, that atmosphere traveling up there would be tough to play in. I think better off in a series against Army, the Colonials would fare better.
I mean, RMU has played Army earlier this year, lost 2, tied 1, won 1. But the one win was in West Point, so it'll be interesting to see if they do play Army, if obviously that continues. And then RIT, as we mentioned a couple weeks ago, lost the first game and then tied the second game, but technically it was an OT win by Nick Perkusik.
Yeah, so I think you'd rather go with Army. I think RIT would be a tougher place to play, but it's right now the focus is on this weekend, finishing off the year. You got two big games at hand coming up against Niagara and Lewistown, New York. So you have to look for different players to step up here again, continuing that aspect. So I'm going to, you know, just sort of jump right into it. My player to watch for the Colonials for this coming weekend, I'm going to go with Justin Kapemaster. I will assume he gets the nod, and at least the first game, I think he has potentially a big game. Maybe only letting in one goal. I think he has a strong start, and then that allows him to get the second start as well. And I think you're looking at two close games, potentially both wins for the Colonials, and Kapemaster's at the front of that.
I'm going to go with a bit of a odd one, but I'm going to go with Nick Jenny. I think he'll be solid on the back end tonight, or this weekend. I think I'm going to guess a goal and two assists for him on the weekend.
Yeah, we've seen offensive production from him throughout the year, here and there, but not a bad pick. I'll agree that he's one of the...
Yeah, he had an assist in the second game against Canisius. I believe it was on... It was on Kramer's goal.
It was the first goal, yes. Yeah. But we've seen the past couple weeks him jumping up into the play as well. So he's been an offensive threat from the back end, which is another thing that the Colonials are stressing. But speaking of defensemen and someone who has not really jumped off the page as of late that just crossed my mind, Brendan McCallion.
He's been quiet.
Haven't heard a ton from
weeks.
Him. Haven't seen many strong games out of him. He's been consistent, but we haven't seen, you know, a dominant game. I mean, not doesn't have to be from the goal scoring aspect or goals assist wise either, but just in general, you know, being out there throwing the body, blocking some shots. I know he's had a bunch of blocked shots, but it just seems like he hasn't jumped off the page for me so far, as the past couple weekends have come and gone.
Yeah, ever since he scored that goal against Arizona State, he has one assist, six shots, and then 11 blocks. That's what it should. Obviously, the score sheet doesn't show everything. Obviously, there's plays that show up that aren't on score sheets, hits aren't on these score sheets, things like that. But just as of this, yeah, he's been quiet.
Yeah, and I know we've had a couple away series as of late. So, and that's another thing that you'd see his name pop up on the score sheet, and you don't see it as much as of late. And even when they played on senior night, he wasn't really out there. He didn't jump out to me. So
it'll be interesting to see if he can have a delayed senior night, if you say, against Niagara. And just a quick look around the rest of Atlantic Hockey for next week. Air Force taking on RIT in Rochester. RMU, obviously, traveling to Niagara. Canisius traveling to Mercyhurst. Holy Cross traveling to Bentley. That's actually going to be a home-and-home between the two clubs. And then AIC is traveling to Army on Saturday only. I don't see them playing again.
Well, it seems like a good closing weekend for Atlantic Hockey. You have AIC playing another top team in Army in this conference. You have Canisius and Mercyhurst, who are two bottom feeders in the standings, but they're going to go at it on the weekend. And then you also have Niagara and Bentley, who they can move up in the standings. If either one of them really, you know, can take care of the other, they can move up and come close to where RMU is.
Yeah, and that Air Force RIT game is a big one, because if RIT wins both games, then they can tie RIT. I don't know exactly what the tiebreak, probably record, but I'm pretty sure they both have the same record. But they'd be tied with 47 if Air Force was to sweep them.
I think you have to look at the standings, and I don't think RMU would have enough wins. I think 13 would be the max for the Colonials, and RIT already has 14, so I don't think RMU is bound to be the away opponent at the number 5 seed in the conference tournament if they stay there and win both these games. If not, they could fall, you know, below Bentley if Bentley comes back and sort of wins a couple games and RMU loses out here. They could drop all the way to, what is that, number 8 there.
Yeah, they could drop all the way to 8, pretty much kill any momentum they'd have, I'd say.
They'd have to play in the first weekend. But that, I don't even know if that, I think that would be a home series, though. That's the one thing.
That would be a home series, likely against Holy Cross or Canisius, one of those two.
So it's a big, impactful weekend. Nothing is really settled and set straight except for the top and then Mercyhurst at the bottom, really.
Yeah, the only three teams that are set are AIC, Sacred Heart, and Mercyhurst.
And even at the top, Sacred Heart and AIC could flip back and forth, especially with AIC only playing one game this weekend.
I don't believe Sacred Heart's playing this weekend. I don't think I mentioned their name, did I? No, Sacred Heart is not playing.
Okay, so they're done for the year.
Yeah, they just beat Sacred Heart, or they beat AIC yesterday.
In a shootout, I think it was.
No, 5-3.
5-3?
Yeah.
I think Sacred Heart beat someone in a shootout the other day.
They beat Army last week.
Okay, yeah. So they got a couple points there as well. So then things are set out straight for Sacred Heart and where they're going to probably fall, sitting there at second. So as the season wraps up, we see the standings still could fluctuate, and RMU has to take care of business, like always.
They do. What's your prediction for this weekend?
Like I mentioned, Kappa Master has a great start in the first game. I think the Colonials win 3-0, get a pair of goals from Prokusic. He's going to continue to lead this team offensively. Maybe we will see McCallion get on the score sheet as well. Second game, I think it will be a little bit of a tighter contest. I think 4-3 Colonials win in overtime.
I'm gonna agree, but not disagree. I'm going to say first game is a close one. I'm going to say first one is very similar to that last Canisius game. I'm going to say 3-2 with the winner being scored, you know, within 2 minutes. And I'm going to say second game is where Kappa Master really gets strong. I'm going to say 4-0 win.
All right, sounds good. Big weekend again for the Colonials as they wrap up their last two games of the regular season, and they head towards the postseason.
Yeah, but for this episode of Off the Pipes, I've been John Hanna.
I'm Nathan Breisinger.
And we'll see you in 2 weeks because it's spring break next week, and we'll get you ready for the entire of Atlantic Hockey playoffs.